If you have your copy of God's Word, if you would turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. We begin reading in verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. I'm preaching this morning on this subject, Antichrist Revealed. Antichrist Revealed. The Word of God reads thus, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed with the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him. May God add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His Word." You can be seated. Heavenly Father, will You once again, by Your Spirit, speak to us, give us eyes to see truth this morning, give us ears to hear truth, guard us and protect us. We need Your help. And we know as we come to a text like this, we're reminded that we need Your help. We need to be guarded. We need to be protected. And I pray that You would do that this morning. I pray for Your people that You have gathered here this morning, that You would work in their hearts in such a way that they would be well instructed from Your Word with regard to what comes against You, Jesus, antichrists, those who are against You. We need to know what they look like, and we need to know what our resources are in those battles. And so I pray that You would help us with that this morning, and that You would glorify Your name. Jesus, we ask all these things in Your name this morning. Amen. So, Antichrist Revealed. See, if we had a big church sign out there, that would draw some people in, wouldn't it? We're gonna reveal who the Antichrist is. There are certain camps within Christianity that spend a lot of time and effort focusing on the identity of the Antichrist that you see in the book of the Revelation. The Antichrist, this one particular person, of who that is and where they will come from. So that there are those who give a great deal of attention to that. That is not my intent this morning, so my title is a bit false advertising, but the fact is none of you knew the title until about 2 minutes ago. So it's not a bait and switch by any means. But John is, if I'm not mistaken, John's the only writer in the New Testament that uses this word, Antichrist. Now, he's referred to, Paul refers to him, but the word Antichrist, I think John is the only one that uses that. And what John is talking about is not the Antichrist, like one person who is going to be an end-time actor on the great world stage. John is talking about people who are against Christ, people and their ideas and their philosophies that are opposed to Jesus Christ. And that is the emphasis that John sets. And notice even in verse 18, John says that these people are present. "Children, it's the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour." And again, we've looked at this before, what John is calling the last hour, these days in which we live, the end time, so to speak, the time between Christ's first advent and Christ's second advent is the time in which we live. And John says, we actually know that we're in that time because of the presence of Antichrist, of people who are against Christ. Their ideas and philosophies are against Christ. And that's how we know the time in which we live. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. So this is not something futuristic. This is not something that you would find in the Left Behind movie series. John is writing to his, and I just love John's approach. He's writing to his children, his little children. He wants to guard them. He wants to protect them. He wants to make sure they know and understand the times in which they live. So he's going to write to them in this section that we're looking at this morning to do just that, to guard them, to protect them. And by doing that, or in the way that he will do that, is he's going to explain to them what it is that defines these antichrists that he's talking about. What are they like? What are their characteristics? What are their qualities? But he's also going to help them by defining for them the resources that they have as they interact with these antichrists, these antichrist spirits and ideas. And so that's what I want us to look at this morning. So the first is these three things that define antichrist. And then there are two things that define believers as they interact with those. So that'll be our framework this morning. So the three things that define Antichrist, just to keep it simple. Number one, they're leaving. Number two, they're lying. And number three, they're deceiving. And there is a difference there we'll look at. Leaving, lying, and deceiving. And then for the believers, the two things that he's going to give his children as their resources in this last hour in which they live is anointing and abiding. And so we'll look at each one of those five. So let's jump in. So first of all, let's look at this idea of Antichrist. And the first thing that John notes for his readers and for us is that they are leaving. They're departing. Look at verse 19 with me. They, speaking of the Antichrist, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. So these antichrists, and we've alluded to this several times already as in the early parts of 1 John, these antichrists were once part of this congregation to which John writes. These antichrists were actually part of what we would call this church. So this is not simply antichrist spirits or ideas coming from outside against the church, although that does happen. But what John is writing about are antichrists that have actually came up within the church, but they have now left the church. And this is not uncommon. If you look, I didn't put a reference in, but if you look at Acts 20, where Paul addresses the Ephesian elders as he is leaving the city of Ephesus, never to come back, he tells them that there will be wolves that will come up among you. Not necessarily just from outside, but even from among your own number. He says there will be wolves. Peter says the same thing in 2 Peter. False prophets also arose among them, just as there will be false teachers among you. So much of this antichrist come from within the very body. Hey, and Paul does the same thing. This is not just a matter of something that John has. In 1 Corinthians 11:18, where Paul is teaching about the Lord's Supper, and he's talking about the division that is in place there in Corinth around the Lord's Supper, he writes this, "For, in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part." Now listen to why, verse 19. "For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized." So Paul, right along with John, right along with Peter, recognizes there are false teachers, there are antichrists that come up within the body, not necessarily just from outside the body. This is something we have to understand and deal with. And we saw the purpose that Paul gave. John does also, if you go back to 1 John 2:19. And so John says they were with us. So they were in this gathering with us, in this corporate gathering. But the fact is, John says, they were never actually of us. They've always been antichrist. They didn't slip off somehow into becoming an antichrist. They have always been against Christ. But they had slipped in, as the Bible says in other places. Within the very congregation, John says they were here, they were part of the congregation, but they were never actually part of us. And he says the reason we know that is if they had been of us in that real way, they would have continued with us. But they went out. And here's the purpose: that it might become plain that they all are not of us. This is the Antichrist. They are those who leave. They will eventually leave. They are within the church, but they are not actually born-again believers in Christ. They are false. They are, we're going to see, liars and deceivers, but they leave. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is enough that they leave. Now, I'm not talking about someone who leaves a church over a secondary doctrinal matter. I'm not talking about someone that leaves a church even because of a personal preference. What he's talking about are people that are in opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that opposition to the gospel drives them to leave. If you leave a church in opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is because you are not a Christian. You're an antichrist. That's the first way we can see. We can see them leave. And we can see this in Scripture. We can see it in modern day. Think in Scripture. Judas Iscariot. He was never one of us because he left us. He turned his back on Christ because he was never one of us. He went out from us. There's another guy in your Bible, and you'll have to search this one out a little bit. His name's Demas. And he was a traveling companion of Paul. And in Paul's earlier letters, he speaks of Demas being with him. But by the end of Paul's ministry, when you come to his latter letters that he wrote to Timothy, you find that Demas left because he loved the world. He went out from us because he was never of us. And God's purpose was to show that he was false. But think even more contemporary. Maybe some of you know the name, maybe some of you don't. Josh Harris. Josh Harris was a pastor. Josh Harris was a popular writer. He has denied the gospel. He went out from us because he was never of us. Even as a pastor and even as a popular writer, his going out from us gives evidence that he was never of us. This may be hard for some of you to stomach. This is what John says if you look at the verse. They went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Not everyone, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will inherit the kingdom of heaven. There are those who are within even the congregation of the body, within the church, who are false. And the gospel will eventually drive them away. They will go out. Now, what we have to understand is this is God's purpose. We see it in John's writing. We saw it in Paul's writing. God's purpose is to, and we need to rejoice in this, to purify his church and to make it clear who the false teachers are. So Paul writes that around in 1 Corinthians 11, around the Lord's table. God's purpose is so that those who are genuine, so that you can see who's genuine. And John writes that the purpose is that it might become plain that they are not of us. If you are not united in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the Christian and Missionary Alliance, not Wade McGee's preaching, not 41 Depot Street, if you are not united around the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is nothing else. It will become plain that you are not of them. There are people in churches that are not united around the gospel of Jesus Christ. and they're false. So the first thing that John wants his little children and wants you to know is that the Antichrist, the first characteristic, is that they leave. And this is God's work. You see it in the text I've given you. You see it. This is God at work. God's love for His church is not going to let them flourish because He can't draw away God's elect. But God's love brings out these false teachers and takes them away because they're not of us. They're leavers. They're leaving. Second thing is they're liars. They're liars. The Antichrist are lying. Drop down to verses 22 and 23, and then we'll go down one more verse. 22 and 23. And again, these are characteristics of Antichrist that John is giving his readers so that they can be guarded, so that they can be protected, so that you can be guarded and you can be protected. Antichrists have not left. In fact, maybe they have proliferated. There may be more of them now than there was. They're certainly easier to find because of our technology. You need to be warned this morning about Antichrist because we still live in this last hour. And so John says they're liars. Verse 22. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So John sets up this equation, doesn't he? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and Son. The liar is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the liar because they lie in particular about the person and the work of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You will find that. You see it here. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? These Antichrists are denying not necessarily the existence of Jesus. They are denying that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Rescuer, the Savior. They're denying His deity. They are lying about the person of Jesus Christ. And this is where Antichrist will most likely find themselves. It is typically not an issue with God the Father, although it can be. It is typically not an issue with God the Holy Spirit, although it can be. Typically, they lie about the person of Jesus Christ. And if you get Jesus Christ wrong, listen to me, then you get everything wrong. You see what John writes. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. You cannot neatly divide and say, I like God the Father, but I can't take Jesus as truly God, truly man, the only Savior, but I'm going to take God the Father. You're out. If you do not have the Son right, you do not have the Father either. And you will go to hell. It is that simple. You don't get to pick and choose. It's not cafeteria theology. So they're lying about Christ. They're lying about His divinity. They're lying about His deity. Later on, we're going to see them lying even about His incarnation, saying that He really wasn't incarnate. He didn't have a physical body. It was just a spiritual, mystical thing. We'll see that later in 1 John. But here, they're lying about Christ's person. Friends, this has not changed one bit. Not one bit. The cults today do the same thing. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses do the exact same thing. They deny and lie about who Christ is. The Jehovah's Witnesses, it's just a rehash of what used to be called Arianism. They say Jesus was not God. If you deny the Christ, Jesus is Christ, you don't have the Father either. Mormons have their own conception of Jesus that is not in accord with Scripture. And if you don't have Christ right, if you don't have Jesus right, you don't have the Father either. So they lie about Jesus. Let me give you one that's maybe a little more close to home. How about those who would say, there's one God, there's just a lot of different ways to get to that God. So Jesus is the Christian way to get to God. But there's a Hindu way, and there's a Muslim way. And there's all these other different ways to get to God. So there's one God. What about that? That's lying about the person and work of Jesus Christ. You guys know John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So if you deny that, that's antichrist. That is lying. They lie about who Christ is. And you cannot separate. You see the Trinitarian implications. No one who denies the Son has the Father. You can't claim that Jesus is just your way to God and someone else has an equal and equivalent way to God. That is lying about Jesus Christ. And many people want Jesus on their side. They want Jesus in their camp. And they will take Jesus and they'll form their own little Jesus regardless of what Scripture says about Jesus so that they can get Jesus to fit in their camp. Well, what about this? What about this? Even though there's no biblical teaching, you have to make sure you know Jesus right and you know Jesus well, or you don't have the Father either. Do you know this gospel, this person of Jesus Christ, that well? Do you know it rightly? I don't know if you do or not. I'm asking you that question. I gave a quiz to our Sunday school this morning. If you're interested, I can give you one. A quiz on the gospel, on the doctrine of salvation. You have to understand it rightly. If you are off on Jesus Christ, you are off. You can't be a little bit off. You have to be right on the person and work of Jesus Christ. So what are you doing to grow in that, my Christian friend? What are you doing to grow in your knowledge of Christ and the gospel? Or are you content to just have an elementary level education on who Jesus is? And I've asked you this before, and I'll continue to ask you it. What captures your attention? What captures your attention? Because these antichrists lie. And it could be a person, it could be an idea, it could be a movement, it could be a philosophy that is against Christ, and they lie. And if you don't know Jesus and the gospel well, you will fall for the lie. So what are you doing personally to increase and grow in your knowledge of Jesus, to increase and grow in your knowledge of the gospel? Or have you allowed something else to be more intriguing to you, something else you're more excited about? If there's something in your life, my Christian friend, I don't care if it's a television show or a political cause or a movement, if there's something in your life that you find more intriguing and more exciting than the Lord Jesus Christ, you are setting yourself up for lying and deception from Antichrist. So what are you doing? Lies abound. The Antichrist lies abound. They lie about Christ. The third thing that John says about the Antichrist, go down to verse 26. They deceive. They leave, they lie, and they deceive. Verse 26, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. Deceive you. Now you may say, well, wait, we just covered lying. Isn't that the same thing? It's not the same thing. You can lie, you can make a statement that does not accord with truth and reality without an intent to deceive and bring someone else along. You can make a statement and leave it at that and be lying. But John's point here is that these antichrists are deceiving. Their goal is to bring his readers and to bring you along with them. That's deception. Deception is lying with the intent of bringing someone else into my life, to get you on my side, to get you into my point of view. That's deception. And John says that's what these antichrists are doing. He's writing these things about those who are trying to deceive you. They're not content to agree to disagree. They are definitely not content to you have your understanding and I have my understanding. Why do you think Jehovah's Witnesses continue to knock on your door? Because they want to deceive you. It's a works orientation as well. Mormons, why do you think people get so aggravated if you have the conversation that I just said? Maybe it's aggravating some of you this morning. Someone says there's more than one way to God, and you claim the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, as Mark read this morning, as the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Why is that so upsetting to people? Why can they not just say, you have your truth and I have mine? They typically don't, because they want to deceive you. They want to bring you in to their lies. And that's what these antichrists do. They leave, they lie, they deceive. They want to bring you with them. So let me ask you something. I want you to think about this, please. Who or what is deceiving you this morning, my Christian friend? Or even if you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, you wouldn't claim to be a Christian. Think about it. What has drawn you in? What has captured your affections? A person or people? Ideas, philosophies, movements, students, high school students, university students? Everything that goes along with it that is anti-Christ. That denies what Christ says about himself. Anything that purports to be Christ, but is antithetical to what he actually taught. You're being deceived if it is not in accord with the truth of the Word of God. So the Antichrist is revealed then. This is what Antichrist looked like. At Philip Barber High School or Philippi Middle School or your college campus, your social media. So this is why I said, I think, and I don't want to say this authoritatively, I think the proliferation of antichrist is even worse today because they're so easy to find. Think of your social media interaction, adults, kids alike. You are inundated with antichrist messages. You are inundated with ideas and philosophies that deny what Jesus Christ says in His Word. And if you do not know Jesus Christ and the gospel well, then you will be deceived. You will be lied to. And you will be drawn in. If you give more time to your phone or your TV and news sources than you give to the Word of God, you stand a very good chance of being deceived. Because you don't know the truth. But you're inundated with the lies that antichrists bring to this world. So there's no personality revealed. The antichrist, the end time antichrist, is not revealed to you this morning. But what about those who leave? What about those who lie, and what about those who deceive? Are you being deceived? Are you buying lies because they're packaged well? The last two things that I want you to look at with me this morning, John not only seeks to guard his children by telling them what antichrists are defined by, characterized by, but the two things that he tells them as Christians that they have. So we're not at the mercy of antichrists. We are not at the mercy of the lying and the deception. If you are in Christ this morning, you are not. And he's going to tell you why. And I hope these last two bring some encouragement to you. And the first thing that he says is you have an anointing. So look with me at verse 20 and 21. And then he says more about it in verse 27. You have an anointing. John writes, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. And then verse 27, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So John's language, when John uses this word anointed and you have an anointing, John is pulling back, reaching back into his Jewish upbringing, his Jewish history, and pulling forward this idea of anointing. And you can trace that through the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the anointing of kings, the anointing of priests. It was a picture of what the Holy Spirit would do under the new covenant when Christ had come and died and sent the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing, the pouring over. And that's when you read that in John, that's what he's talking about. So in verse 20, he says, "You have been anointed," which is the Holy Spirit, "by the Holy One." The only other time the Holy One is used in the New Testament is in John's Gospel as in reference to Jesus. So what he's saying is, you have the Holy Spirit given to you by Jesus Christ, the Holy One. If you are in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And so he says, you all have knowledge. Because the Spirit of God brings the knowledge of the divine into your being. And so he clarifies it in verse 21. "I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth." He's confirming, because you have been anointed by the Holy One, Jesus Christ has poured out His Spirit into you. The Spirit of Christ indwells you, and because of that, you have knowledge. I'm not writing to you because you don't know. I'm writing to you because you do. Because you actually know these things. And he goes even so far in verse 27 to deny, and again, these false teachers would bring the new and hidden knowledge. It kind of sounds familiar in our culture today. It's a new form of Gnosticism. But in verse 27, "But the anointing that you receive from Him," that's Christ, "abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you." Now, we know the Bible calls for people to teach people. We know that the Bible, that God provides for teachers. So what in the world does this mean? What John means is you have the Spirit of God who is directing you and teaching you. You don't need these false teachers to teach you what else you need to know. Kind of like Galatians. You don't need this hidden knowledge to be revealed to you. You don't need to have your eyes opened to the knowledge that you've never had. John says that is not true. You have the anointing from Christ. You have the Spirit of God. You don't need anyone else to teach you anything revealed or hidden. "But as His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him." One of the commentators paraphrased that. Abide in Christ as the Spirit has taught you to abide in Christ. So you have this anointing. Christian friend, if you are in Christ, if you have trusted in Christ, if you have repented of your sins and placed faith not in you but in Christ, and you have been born again by the Spirit of God, you have this anointing. You have the Spirit of God working in you as you interact with these antichrists, with these ideas and philosophies and people that are against Jesus. Now I wonder, are you experiencing that? See, here's one of the things that the Spirit will do, and this is nothing mystical. The Spirit will help you discern truth from error. You have the Word of God, you also have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit will help you discern truth from error. So I'm just wondering, are you experiencing that? Are you experiencing those little red flags or red lights going off in your conscience, in your mind, when you're you know, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, CNN, Fox News, whatever it is? Are you experiencing that? Because the Spirit will bring that to your mind. And I look around again at students, when you're in a classroom or when you're hanging out with people on campus, are you experiencing that? If not, you probably don't have the Spirit. You may not be born again. But my Christian friend, if you have the Spirit of God will cause you to pull up. That's wrong. When you hear teaching that doesn't accord with who Jesus Christ is, the Spirit will throw up a red flag in your mind, in your conscience. That's wrong. That's not true. That's not what Jesus said. There's not more than one way. That is a powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Are you experiencing that? If you're not, you may not be born again, or you have so dulled your conscience with the world that you can barely hear it. And you need to recalibrate. But Christian, that, and I hope some of you experience that. I hope some of you that hits home, you've experienced that. When you're watching that show or you're watching that documentary and something comes on, you go, that's not right. That's the Spirit of God teaching you and bringing back to your remembrance what you already know. That's not right. That's not true. That is Antichrist. I hope you're experiencing that. Not Antichrist. I hope you're experiencing the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Last thing that he gives to encourage them. Not only do they have this anointing, but he encourages them to abide in what they have. Verses 24 and 25. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. This idea of abiding means to take up residence. It means to rest in someone or something. And notice, we've looked at this several times, John's phrase, let what you heard from the beginning. He uses it a lot of different ways. Here, what he's talking about, what they heard from the beginning is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The beginning of their salvation started with Jesus. And he's calling them to abide, to remain, to stay in that. It is the perseverance of the saints, if you want to use that term. But he's calling them to stay in that. They don't need to wander off. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has made to us, eternal life. He wants them to stay in the truth that they have. And I would encourage you, my Christian friend, especially some of you younger Christians, abide in the truth that you have. If you have come to faith in Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, abide in the truth that you have. Stay there. Remain in it. You can expand on it and grow it, but stay in that truth. You don't need something else. You don't need something additional. You don't need to wander off into the lies and the deception of the Antichrist. Abide in that truth that you have about Christ that you had from the beginning. Don't leave. See, sometimes a conformity to, let's call it, church standards can actually hide an apathy toward the gospel. Sometimes a conformity to mom and dad and church standards can actually hide an antagonism toward the gospel. And church kids, that word is for you. Because you can hang out and look like a Christian until it's time to go, and then you leave. You go out from us because you were never of us. And so my challenge to you is, have you come to saving faith in Jesus Christ? Not attended church, not been baptized. Have you come to saving faith in Christ? And if you have, then his word for you in 24 and 25, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. Stay there. Stay there. Don't let everything that the world has draw you away, young or old, from this truth. Abide in what you heard from the beginning and grow it. So John's encouragement then to his children, in light of those who are leaving, in light of those who lie, in light of those who deceive, beware of that. But remember, you have an anointing, the Spirit of God. The third person of the Trinity indwells and teaches you. And abide in that truth that you have had. And remain and stay. You don't need extra. Lord, once again, I pray that you would do what only you can do with this.